Got a little show and tell today to start with. I brought our blue celebration plate from home. We like to bring this out on someone's birthday or graduation or on some other significant kind of day. Yesterday was William's 16th birthday. Yeah, 16. And so grandparents are in town today. And so at lunch, we're going to break this bad boy out, and William will get to eat lunch on this. Most likely, you probably have something like this at your house, but it's fun to celebrate and to acknowledge special days. There's a website that I like to look at on occasion. The address of the site is daysoftheyear.com. And it's worth checking out because when you get on there, on the homepage are all the different days that we can recognize for today, which is June 1st. So just in case you're interested and you really want to recognize something significant today, I'd like to mention to you a couple things about June the 1st. So today is National Go Barefoot Day. So that's been a thing since 2005. It's an annual celebration every June 1st. People are encouraged to take off their shoes and just run and walk in their bare feet as much as possible. I was telling Karen on the way here this morning that we celebrate National Barefoot Day every day in our house. If you know, if you come into our home, you take your shoes off at the door. But Go Barefoot Day today. Today's also World Milk Day. So it doesn't matter which kind of milk, but on June 1st, this goes back to 2001, you're encouraged to go home today and drink a big, tall glass of milk. I know Roman is staying with us, the youth intern, and he's a big milk guy and a whole milk guy. We have that in common. We're both whole milk guys. And so get your milk mustache going today. Maybe just put a little extra milk in your coffee or have a bowl of cereal for dinner. But enjoy milk. Today's National Nail Polish Day. That's not one that I'm going to celebrate. But hey, you ladies, have at it on the way home today. Get your favorite nail polish color and do something fun with that this afternoon. Today's Oscar the Grouch Day. Yes, I'm talking about the green puppet that lives in the trash can on Sesame Street. Some ways that you're encouraged to celebrate Oscar the Grouch Day are by avoiding morning pleasantries, grumbling about all you have to do today, and then just complaining about anything and everything. I was more of a Grover guy myself. Now, this one's kind of significant. Today is Statehood Day in Kentucky. Now, how many of you knew that? Oh, a couple. So on June 1st each year, we celebrate Statehood Day here in the great Commonwealth of Kentucky, because on June 1st, 1792, Kentucky was officially admitted into the United States as state number what? 15. I've got the answer right in front of me. But if my math is correct, that means that Kentucky turns 232 years old today. And so, what? My math is wrong. And that's why I love hanging out with Michael McCarley, because his math is always right. So whatever Mike says goes. 233. So I think there might be a parade in Frankfurt for that today, but I would check before you went. Now, I've just scratched the surface. If you go to that website, I've scratched the surface of all the different ways that you can celebrate things today on June the 1st. Some obviously are more notable than others. But here's the reason I share all that with you this morning. You could easily do that for any day of the year. There are many things to recognize and celebrate for each day of the year. But there's something I want to share with you about today that's more important, in my opinion, than any of the others that I've already mentioned to you. On many church calendars around the world, today is recognized as Ascension Sunday. In Acts chapter 1, Luke tells us that following the resurrection, Jesus appeared to his disciples over a period of 40 days and spoke to them about the kingdom of God. And at the end of those 40 days, Jesus was taken up before their eyes, and a cloud hid them from their sight. And this event is known as the ascension of Jesus Christ. Several Sundays ago, we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus on Easter Sunday. And if you do the math, and we'll check with Michael, 40 days from Easter was actually this past Sunday, May 29th. That was literally the day Jesus would have ascended into the heavens. It just so happens that this is the first Sunday the church has gathered since that day. And so churches all over the world wait until this Sunday to recognize the event and call this Ascension Sunday. Now, I bet when you woke up this morning, you weren't thinking, all right, it's Ascension Sunday. It doesn't have the same excitement probably as waking up on Christmas morning. We didn't have coffee and bagels here for you like we did on Easter Sunday morning. Yet today, I want to recognize and emphasize an event in the life of Jesus that was just as significant as his birth and just as important as his resurrection. It's his ascension. We recently started a series through the Gospel of Mark, and we're just going to push pause on that series for 2 weeks so that we can emphasize the ascension of Jesus Christ. You've heard us mention from here that our theme this year, our kind of our key word for the year, is allegiance. And as we study through the Gospel of Mark this year, we are doing so with that key word as our interpretive lens. Yet here's the thing. If there was no ascension of Jesus Christ, then there's no allegiance to Jesus Christ. If there's no ascension of Jesus Christ, then there's no allegiance to Jesus Christ. The very reason that our key word this year is allegiance is because there was an ascension. And so I want to pause and take these 2 weeks to recognize the importance and the significance of this event. There's a little book I want to mention to you that's been very helpful to me. It's called The Ascension of Christ. The author is a New Testament seminary professor named Patrick Schreiner. Much of what I'm going to be sharing with you today comes from my reading his little book. But here's the thing. The gospel of Jesus Christ, we talked about this when Trace and Jeremy and I did a series about allegiance earlier this year. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the good news about what theologians call the entire career of Christ. The whole career of Christ. You've heard me use the phrase parabola of salvation, or the smiley face of salvation. And I use those terms because the good news of Jesus includes the entire story of Jesus. There is a descent and an ascent. There's a manger, there's a cross, there's an empty tomb, and then there's a crown. The good news of Jesus Christ is about the whole career of Jesus Christ. And when we don't properly recognize and emphasize the ascension, then we don't properly recognize and emphasize his crown. Now, we recognize the incarnation, we emphasize his manger, and we recognize the crucifixion and emphasize his cross. We recognize the resurrection and emphasize his empty tomb. But what about the ascension? Have you ever heard a sermon on the ascension? And if not, why not? This book that I mentioned to you about the ascension of Christ, it has a subtitle that reads, Recovering a Neglected Doctrine. It's called The Ascension of Christ, Recovering a neglected doctrine. And I think the author's right. I'm just going to speak for myself. But the ascension of Christ is something that I have neglected. As one who teaches and preaches the Word of God on a regular basis, I have not emphasized the ascension of Christ as much as I have the other gospel events of Jesus Christ. Why is that? Why haven't I given the same lip service to the ascension as I have to the crucifixion, as I have to the incarnation, as I have to the resurrection? Well, the author suggests five reasons why the ascension has been neglected. And all I want to do this morning is kind of walk us through these reasons. Now, you could probably come up with many of these reasons on your own, but I think it's worthy of our time this morning to try to answer the question, why haven't we emphasized the importance of the ascension? So let me walk us through these five reasons. Reason number one, because the Bible speaks little of it. Because the Bible speaks little of it. The seven verses that Gregory read for us earlier, the last four verses of the Gospel of Luke, and those three verses in the first chapter of Acts are the only verses in the Bible that cover the ascension. It's a mere seven verses. That's 0.03% of all of Scripture. Of the four gospel writers, only Luke writes about the ascension. You know, we're studying through the Gospel of Mark. And of the 16 chapters in the Gospel of Mark, the final third, chapters 11 through 16, are dedicated to the last week of his life. I mean, that's a big chunk of his gospel, and rightfully so. Dedicated to the Holy Week. And there he writes all about the crucifixion and his burial and the resurrection. But the original conclusion of Mark does not include anything about the ascension. So the Bible speaks little of it. Reason number two, it seems like a bad plan. It seems like a bad plan. Now, God did not ask me, but Jesus remaining on the earth seems to me, to my very temporal and my very finite brain, like it would have been a better idea. Listen to what the author writes. He says, in some ways, the ascension appears like the worst plan ever. Jesus' life is good. Jesus' death is good. Jesus' resurrection is good. Jesus' ascension, we have questions. Evangelism, for example, would be a lot easier without the ascension, right? After all, trying to talk to people about someone who left the earth 2,000 years ago is not the simplest thing to do. I think if Jesus were still on the earth, it'd be easier for us to convince people of his importance. Now, I don't know anybody famous. But just for the sake of illustration, let's say I did. Let's say that I knew Taylor Swift. Okay? Let's say Tay-Tay and I go way back. You know, back to the day. Now, it's just an illustration, so just stay with me. So if I were to come up to you and say, hey, I know Taylor Swift, you would be like, uh-huh, right, Barrett, that's a good one. But if I were talking to you and Taylor Swift walked into the room and said, hey, Barrett, how are you doing? Then that would help back up my claim. And yet, this is exactly what we attempt to do with our relationship with Jesus Christ. I will say to someone that I know Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and that he knows me. Why would anyone believe that? Uh-huh, right, Barrett, that's a good one. But if I were talking to you, and Jesus walked into the room and said, hey there, Barrett, how you doing? That would help back up my claim. But instead, I'm trying to convince another person that I know and that I am known by someone who left the earth 2,000 years ago. So it seems like a bad plan. Reason number three, the implications of it are unclear. Why did Jesus have to ascend? Was the resurrection not enough? Was the ascension really necessary? In Acts chapter 1, the disciples had just spent 40 days with the resurrected Jesus, listening to his instruction about the kingdom of God. Can you imagine? I would love to have the transcript of those lessons. Wow, just the richness of that teaching by the resurrected Jesus, 40 days on the kingdom of God. But here are these disciples, having spent 40 days with him, learning all about the kingdom. Listen to the question they ask in verse 6 of Acts chapter 1. They ask him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore this kingdom to Israel? This kingdom that you've talked about and instructed us about for the last 40 days, are you going to restore this kingdom to Israel? You see, the last thing on their minds was the ascension. They didn't see it coming. I think when he left, they were utterly shocked and dumbfounded. So much so that in verse 11 that Gregory read for us earlier, two men in white have to appear to wake them up out of their stupor and say, why do you stand here looking in the sky? You see, the implications of the ascension are unclear. Reason number four, the event is abnormal. It's abnormal. How many of you have seen an ascension? I have not. In fact, from a modern perspective, it doesn't just sound strange, it sounds ridiculous. Because it involves a middle-aged man going up into the sky and then disappearing into the clouds. So just where does he actually go? Listen to what the author writes. With our modern scientific worldview, we know he must have traveled through the atmosphere, and so then what? And how did he survive without a NASA spacesuit? You know, I think it's one thing to accept supernatural healings, and it's another thing to believe that someone raised from the dead, yet Jesus did not die with the ascension. He just left. He just left. A man who is just as alive as you and me. He could eat, he could talk, he could breathe, you could see him, you could touch him. This fully alive man just left the planet. The event is abnormal. And then reason number five, the resurrection subsumes the ascension. Now, subsume is not a word that I use every day, but it just means to absorb. It just means to absorb. So what he's saying is, in a sense, the ascension gets lost in the shadow of the resurrection. But listen to what one author writes about the ascension. He writes, the resurrection requires an ascension to be completed. You see, the resurrection is not the end of the gospel. To put it another way, the empty tomb is not the climax of the gospel. You see, it's important to note that the ascension is not anticlimactic. It's not just an exclamation point on the resurrection. The ascension is its own good news. The ascension is its own gospel event. And without it, the good news of Jesus Christ is incomplete. And so, five reasons as to why the ascension has been neglected: because the Bible speaks little of it, seems like a bad plan, the implications are unclear, the event is abnormal, the resurrection subsumes the ascension. Whatever the reasons, perhaps you could come up with some of your own. The truth of the matter is, the ascension has been neglected. So, on this Ascension Sunday, I want to follow the lead of the gospel writer Luke, and I want to return the ascension to its place of prominence. You see, the New Testament writer Luke wrote one work with two volumes, Luke and Acts. They were written as one work. They were never meant to be separated. They were written as one work, two volumes. And if you read it in that manner, then you'll discover that the two-volume account has what's called a chiastic structure. In other words, it's written in the form of an X. And I won't go into all those details, but at the center of the X, of the center of that one work, that two-volume one work, what we find at the center of the X, we discover the heart of Luke's message. In a sense, if you think of Luke's writing as a treasure map, then X marks the spot. And what we find at the center, what we discover at both the end of Luke chapter 24 and at the beginning of Acts chapter 1, is the account of the ascension of Jesus Christ. These two chapters, Luke 24 and Acts 1, they overlap one another. It's where the X crosses. The only gospel event that's narrated in both volumes is the ascension of Jesus Christ. You see, the ascension serves as the hinge where Luke transitions from the life of Jesus to the life of the church. Listen to what Andrew Murray wrote. If you're not familiar with Andrew Murray, he was a South African pastor that wrote during the late 1800s. Highly recommend his works to you. He's got a ton of little books, many on prayer. But listen to what he wrote. He said, "Faith has in its foundation four great cornerstones on which the building rests: the divinity of Christ, the incarnation, the atonement on the cross, and the ascension to the throne. The last one, the ascension, is the most wonderful. It's the crown of all the rest. It's the perfect revelation of what God has made Christ for us. And so, in the Christian life, it's the most important. For the ascension is the glorious fruit of all that goes before it." The ascension. Here's the thing. Here's the takeaway for today. If there was no ascension of Jesus Christ, then there's no allegiance to Jesus Christ. The very reason that our key word this year is allegiance is because there was an ascension. When we don't properly recognize and emphasize the ascension, then we don't properly recognize and emphasize his crown. Jesus is Lord because he ascended to his throne. Let me say that again. Jesus is Lord because he ascended to his throne. This week, we looked at the neglect of the ascension. Next week, we're going to look at the now of the ascension. What does the ascension of Jesus mean for us today? Church, this is good news. Jesus Christ, our risen Savior, has ascended to his throne to be Lord of all. This morning, let's stand together and worship the only one who has ever ascended to the throne.